比拉多又进了衙门，叫耶稣来，对他说：“你是犹太人的王吗？”耶稣回答说：“这话是你自己说的，还是别人论我对你说的呢？”比拉多说：“我岂是犹太人呢？你本国的人和祭司长把你交给我，你做了什么事呢？”耶稣回答说：“我的国不属这世界，我的国若属这世界，我的臣仆必要征战，使我不至于被交给犹太人。只是我的国不属这世界。”比拉多就对他说：“这样你是王吗？”耶稣回答说：“你说我是王，我为此而生，也为此来到世间，特为真理做见证。凡属真理的人就听我的话。”感谢主赐给我们他的话语。Well, today is the Christ the King Sunday, and we take time to honor Jesus as the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords. But if you paid attention to today's gospel story, you know that the kingship of Jesus was denied by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Neither did the Jewish religious authorities and the mob who demanded the blood of Jesus acknowledge the kingship of Jesus. So this morning we take time to ask a question such as this: in what sense is Jesus the king? What's the nature of Jesus' kingship? And what does it mean for us to be the loyal subject of King Jesus? I want to begin with a story. Mark Twain wrote a story entitled The Prince and the Copper, the Pauper. The story concerns two boys born in England. The first boy was born to the royal family. He was given the title The Prince of Wales. And eventually he became the King of England, King Edward VI. Now, on the very same day that the prince was born to the royal family in the palace of London, another boy was born to a poor family in the slums of London. And he was given the name Tom Canton. And eventually, he became a beggar boy. One day, Tom Canton found himself outside the gate of the royal palace, and he was awestruck by its beauty. So as he edged towards the gate to get a better look of the palace, the royal guards seized him, and eventually, you know, they brutally threw him to the ground. And then, the young prince happened to see the whole incident and came running to Tom's defense. And to the surprise of the guards, the prince invited Tom to his royal quarters. And then something unusual happened. As the prince was showing Tom the huge mirror in his room, the two boys could not believe what they saw in the mirror. What did they say? Except for Tom's rags and dirty face, he was a perfect look-alike of the prince. The two boys were practically identical twins. Then, they both got the same idea. Wouldn't it be fun, you know, to switch places and play a trick on everybody? And which they did. So, the prince put on Tom's beggar's clothes and wandered off through the slums of London and rubbed elbows with the poor and the lowly. And meanwhile, Tom put on the prince's clothes and rubbed elbows with the rich
Are they powerful? And after a while, the two boys were kind of tired of their game. So the prince returned to the palace, tried to enter in. But the guards seized him and refused to let him in. And when he refused to go away, the guards threw him into the palace prison. Nobody believed he was the Prince of Wales. To make a long story short, the situation, you know, finally got ironed out. But something important happened in the process. As a result of his experience in the slums of London, the Prince of Wales learned firsthand what it meant to be poor, to be treated badly, and to be oppressed unfairly by those in authority. As the prince eventually became the king, and he was one of the most merciful and the best beloved king of England. You see, the story of the prince as the pauper is not unlike the story of Jesus Christ and each one of us. We are the beggar boy. And Jesus is the prince destined to become the king of all creation. And Jesus switched places with us. He exchanged the royal robes of his divinity for the dirty rags of our humanity. As the palace guards did not recognize the real Prince of Wales and put him in a palace prison, the religious and the political authorities failed to recognize Jesus as the true Messiah, the King of Israel and the King of the heaven and earth. They thought that Jesus was a failure, was a loser, was a fraud. They thought he was a fake king. And so they nailed him on the cross. But he rose from the dead. On the third day, his resurrection and his ascension confirmed that he is indeed the glorious and the victorious King of heaven and earth. So this is the great mystery that we are celebrating on this feast of Christ the King. We celebrate the fact that Jesus, the King of heaven and earth, understands our situation. He became one of us and experienced firsthand what we have experienced in life, the good things and the bad things. And he also did much, much, much more than that. Because Jesus really served the poor, he healed the sick, he fed the hungry, he comforted those who are grieving, and he forgave those who are sinful. And finally, he suffered and died for us on the cross, and then he rose from the dead to open the gate of eternal life for all those who put trust in him. So, the throne of Jesus, the King, is actually his cross. And the power he chose to exercise was not the power of domination or conquest, but the power of love. He is the King of love. So to confess Jesus is the King of the universe is to confess that the most powerful force in the universe is God's love for us in Christ Jesus. And so when we honor Jesus as our King, we must at the same time pledge our allegiance to Him. We must follow Jesus. Let Jesus' love govern our life. We must let Jesus' love flow in us and through us into the world. We know many people in this world do not believe in the existence of God, let alone accepting Jesus as the King of the universe. Maybe some of your family members or co-workers or friends belong to that group of people. They ask us believers, okay, if God is all-loving and all-powerful, if Jesus is the King of the universe, why is the world in such a mess? Why there are so much violence and evil and poverty and injustice and suffering in this world? That's the question many people struggle with. And we must understand them. We must sympathize with them. We must join them in protesting against the injustices and the evils and the sufferings of this world. And then, we are to be bold and courageous enough to say to them and to the whole world, the world is in such a mess. Not because Jesus is not exercising his power of love, but because many of his subjects are not exercising their power of love which Jesus has given. That's what we need to say to them. And we need to say it with humility and gentleness. Because we know we do not always have the courage and the willingness to follow Jesus the King and exercise the power of love. Love is patient. Are we always patient with those who dare to disagree with us, even our family members? Love is kind. Are we willing to walk in a second mile to demonstrate love in concrete actions to those who are different from us or to those who are so distant from us? Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Are we aware of our failures or shortcomings? When we sometimes become envious or arrogant or boastful or rude, you see, the strongest desire in every one of us is the desire to love and to be loved. But you know what? To love others, especially those who are different from us, who are distant from us, is not an easy thing to do. We live in a world that is ravaged by hatred, by violence, by selfishness. And it takes courage to be the loyal subjects of Jesus the King. 129 people died in a terrorist attack in Paris. Over 300 people were wounded. Where were you? What were you doing when you first heard the news of the Paris attack? What was your gut reaction toward that tragedy? What's your thoughtful response to the threats or rumors of the Paris attack? And it's in the news this morning. You know, a French man lost his wife in a Paris attack. He wrote an open letter to the terrorists. Let me read part of his letter. He wrote, I quote, "Friday night, you took away the life of an exceptional human being, the love of my life, the mother of my son. But you will not have my hatred. But you will not have my hatred. I will not give you the privilege of hating you. You certainly thought it. But replying to hatred with anger would be giving in to the same ignorance which made you into what you are. You want me to be frightened, that I should look into the eyes of my fellow citizens with distrust, that I sacrifice freedom for security. You lost. I will carry on as before. I saw her this morning. Finally, after nights and days of waiting, she was as beautiful as when she left on Friday evening, as beautiful as when I fell madly in love with her more than 12 years ago. I am, of course, devastated by heartbreak. I will cede you that little victory, but it will be short-lived. I know that she will be with us every day, and that we will meet again in the paradise of free souls to which you will never have access. I was deeply, deeply touched by those words. Are you? I'm wondering, is he a Christian? I don't know. I don't know. This Frenchman who wrote this letter to terrorists, is a Christian or not. But this I know, what matters the most is that we remain steadfast in our belief that love is more powerful than hatred, that life is stronger than death. What matters the most is that we believe that Jesus is the victorious King of the universe, and we do our part to exercise the power of love in our life. What matters the most is that we remember and we practice Apostle Paul's charge to the persecuted Christians in the city of Rome. This is what Paul wrote to the Christians who were persecuted. He said, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." You see, when we believe and when we practice what Apostle Paul wrote then, we honor Jesus Christ as the King of the universe, and we become the loyal, faithful subjects of Jesus Christ, the King, in His holy name.